All right. Well, I guess I'm on. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5, please. This morning, 1 Peter chapter 5. Let me begin reading. You would stand with me, please, this morning. Let me begin reading in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning from verse 8, if you would there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to help me tonight, this morning, my voice. I pray that you would help my words to be understandable. Lord, I pray more than that, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, and that the message, God, would go forth. For those that are here, thank you, God, for their faithfulness to be out on this rainy, cold day. God, I pray for those that are not here, that you'd keep working in their hearts as well. Bless the message, please. Please use me in spite of my voice, in spite of my condition. I pray, God, that you would fill this place with liberty, with power, that you would move me aside, hide me, God, behind the cross of Calvary. I pray that you would bind Satan this morning, Lord, as we prepare to preach about him and against him. I pray, God, that you would not allow his influence, his ability to distract us. God, I do plead the blood of Jesus shed on the cross of Calvary, God, to bind the enemy, bind Satan. Lord, I rebuke him this morning in Jesus' name, and I pray, God, that you would give us liberty to hear exactly what this church needs to hear. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. I apologize for my voice, my sniffles. I'm just so sad that Thanksgiving's over. I can't stop crying. Not really. I woke up yesterday with just one of those allergy days, and boy, it was one of those days. And it really hasn't completely gone away. But anyway, I'm going to preach the best of my ability. You pray for me, and I'll be brief. I want to preach to you. Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on spiritual warfare. Not an exciting. Oh, excuse me. Not an exciting topic, but it's just what I feel the Lord laid on my heart as we go into the holiday season. Thanksgiving's behind us now. We look forward to Christmas and we look forward to the new year. And obviously, we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to be excited about. I know that today's rainy and cold and you don't feel very excited. You may not feel 100% either, kind of like I do. But I do want to say that we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to be thankful for behind us. Yes, Thanksgiving behind us, but we have a lot to look forward to ahead of us. And I believe, I believe the best days of this church are ahead of us. Absolutely. But I also know that we have an adversary, the devil. We have an adversary, the devil. And I want you to understand something this morning, just by way of introduction, that Satan is a worthy adversary. He is never going to lay down. He's never going to rest. But he's especially going to come after those who are going forward in the will of God, in the work of God, in the church of God. Satan is going to come after those who are growing in their faith. Satan is going to come after the church who is soul winning in the highways and hedges. Satan is going to come after the church who is after souls and trying to keep people out of hell. And Satan is going to come after the church who still runs buses and vans and picks up children and brings them to church to tell them about Jesus, regardless of what they did last night, regardless of what mom and dad put them through last night. They're here in church this morning, and Satan's going to come after the church that's trying to reach the next generation for Jesus Christ. Satan is not ever going to rest, but he also is always going to be on the alert. And he's a roaring lion. He's always walking about. Y'all, please excuse me. This is going to stop in a minute, I promise you, once I get going. And then you'll wish I was quiet again. But Satan is going to, if you notice in the verse 8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking. Walketh about seeking. And he's seeking whom he may devour. He's not just seeking whom he may devour because they're weaker, but he's also seeking whom he may devour because they're getting something done for God. Because they're accomplishing something that God has sent them to do. And he's walking about seeking. In other words, Satan is not omnipresent. Satan is not in all places at one time like the Holy Spirit of God. Satan is not all powerful. Satan is not omnipotent, omnipresent. God is. God's Holy Spirit is. And you and me, as Christians, children of God, we have to understand Satan is not always on our back. Satan is not always here attacking us, but he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. He has his eyes on certain people and certain churches on purpose because those people are getting something done for God. I just want to start off, first of all, by saying this. Satan is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. I don't know about you, but sometimes we have to be very careful. Sometimes I forget that who the real enemy is. I think about people who don't follow through with what they say they're going to do, and I have to remember Satan is the real enemy. I think about people who can't be depended upon to do or be when they said they were going to do or be. And I have to remember, Satan is the enemy. I think about parents who keep their children at home for no good reason. And I have to remember, Satan is the enemy. You and me have to come to that realization, and we have to remember that, and we have to put that in focus every day of our lives, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle not against men, against mankind. Our battle, our spiritual warfare is just that. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. It's principalities and powers. It's the rulers of darkness that we cannot see in this world. Satan is the enemy. When God's people fall, I didn't say Satan was to blame, but Satan is the enemy. When people do not get saved that we want them to get saved, Satan is the enemy. When God's people don't turn out like God would have them turn out, or when the church doesn't this or that or the other, there's so many things, variables I could, but Satan is the enemy. When something doesn't go right, Satan is the enemy. When God's people get discouraged, Satan is the enemy. When we get ourselves down, when our flesh is weak and weary, Satan is the enemy. Satan is the one that comes in and always tries to talk you out of doing what God has called you to do, had talked you out of being who God wants you to be. Satan is the one that people aren't as faithful as they should be. Satan is the reason that we have the battles in this life. It's not God's fault. It's not anybody else's fault. Satan is the real enemy. But I do want to focus on this morning something else, as we're going to use our Bibles for a little while. I'll not be long. But a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We also know in Ephesians chapter 6, the Bible Bible tells us about the fiery darts of Satan. He's not just a lion, but he also has fiery darts. He also has wiles of the devil, meaning deceptions, trickery. He also has devices, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians. We're not ignorant of his devices. So he doesn't just attack us like a lion, roaring lion. He also shoots us with fiery darts. He also attacks us with deceptive means. He also uses devices like, and that scripture is primarily referring to unforgiveness or bitterness in a heart towards someone else. There could be any number of things, but I want you to understand, Satan is the enemy. But folks, sin is his weapon. Turn with me over to Psalm 119, please, this morning. Psalm 119. Satan is the enemy. But sin is his weapon. The weapon that he uses, he tempts us with sin. He tempts us to sin, and then sin is the ammunition, really, in his weapon of temptation. You could look at it that way, if you want to look at it that way. Satan is the enemy, but folks, listen to me. He is very, very worthy adversary. Psalm 119, verse 1, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments, I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly." Now, who is the thee and the thy in these verses, folks? It's the Lord. Walking in the law of the Lord, there in verse 1, they keep his and seek him, his ways, thee. That is, we're talking about the Lord here in these verses. His statutes in verse 8, verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word," the Lord's word. "With my whole heart have I sought thee, God, the Lord. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." And this whole chapter, I'm not going to read it, obviously, for sake of time. But listen to me, we have here a whole lot to say, but I want to focus on verse 11 this morning for a few minutes. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin." See, sin is the real ammunition that Satan uses. Satan is our enemy. But folks, when we sin, what we're doing is we're giving in to the temptations that he has laid before us. Yes, our flesh is our flesh, and naturally we sin by nature. That's our tendency. But stay with me this morning. I know my voice is not strong, and I know it's cold and rainy outside, but listen to me for a few minutes. You have an adversary that is out to destroy you. You have an adversary that's trying to beat you down and discourage you and defeat you and get you out of the will of God. But listen to me. He doesn't use anything other than masterfully use of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. And listen, our hearts ought to be like verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin." Yep.
Amen.
Every time Satan comes, he tempts us to sin. Can I tell you this morning, sin has many faces. I don't mean literal faces of people. I'm talking about it puts on many different disguises. Do you know that being lazy is a sin?
Amen.
Do you know that being proud is a sin? Do you know that not praying is a sin? The Bible says to pray without ceasing.
Amen.
Do you know that not being faithful to the house of God is a sin?
Amen.
See, it has a whole lot of different faces that whenever someone sits out of church or just doesn't pray or not reading their Bible, you say, I'm not talking to people who are living on the streets, and I'm not preaching to some homeless shelter today of drug addicts and rehab houses or prison today. I'm preaching to God's people on a Sunday morning that are faithful in church. And I understand that we're not doing the things that we think that maybe we used to do or that everybody else is doing, but there are still sins in the hearts of God's people.
Amen.
We have to understand that sin is still sin, no matter what face it puts on, no matter what label we put on it, what title we give it. We have to understand that let all things be done decently and in order. A chaotic life is a life that's out of the will of God. A home that's chaotic and no control and no structure, no discipline. A life that's no structure and no discipline is out of the will of God. And quite frankly, if God says, let it be done this way, and we're doing it this way, and to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
Now, we don't have to try to beat ourselves up this morning. I'm not trying to beat anybody up. I'm just trying to get you to realize that it's the little foxes that destroy the vine.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's the little things that you don't think anybody else notices or that it's not that big of a deal because I'm not, compared to somebody else, I'm not so bad. And I understand that, and I'm certainly not trying to beat anybody up this morning, but I'm trying to get us to open our eyes and see that we have a real adversary that has a real desire to destroy God's people. And he's already got them. He's after us. Now, this is all basic and elementary, but I want you to understand something. The sins of Christians, the sins that we commit in our lives, those are still coming straight from Satan, and they're still the ammunition that Satan uses to destroy us.
Yes, sir. Amen.
But what I really want to draw out some this morning, really, what I really want to draw out using this thought, yes, Satan is the enemy, and sin is the weapon, the ammunition in the weapon. But I want you to notice in verse 11 with me something that hit me and just caused me to weep that maybe I hadn't seen or thought about before. In verse 11 again of Psalm 119, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." Now look up here for a minute. Satan is the enemy. Sin is his ammunition, his weapon. But you know, when we give in to that, listen now, pay attention, watch this. Excuse me just a minute. God is the victim.
Yes, sir.
Now, how can God be the victim of sin? When God's child sins, gives into temptation, gives into the lust of his flesh, the lust of his eyes, or the pride of life, it's a sin against God. You and me maybe don't understand. We can't quite grasp that. I know it's kind of a novel concept. You think, well, I thought Satan was out to destroy me. He is out to destroy you because he hates God. He hates God. You're the only God. Let me say it this way: God's the only reason Satan hasn't squashed you like a bug.
Yeah. Amen.
Do you really think that you're stronger than he is? We're not giving Satan any glory this morning, but we have to understand that God is the only reason that Satan hadn't squashed us like a cockroach.
Yeah. That's right, preacher.
If God would have said, "Go ahead, take Job's life," you know how long Job would have lived? Maybe that long. God said, you can take his family, you can take his home, you can take his riches, you can take his health, but you can't take his life. And that's the only reason Job didn't die.
Come on. Amen.
And the Bible says that Job, in all these things, charged not God foolishly. He worshiped God. Do you know, when we sin, when we do what we know we're not supposed to do, when we don't do what we're supposed to do. Whichever way you want to look at it, they're both sin. God is grieved. God is grieved.
Yes, sir.
Turn over to Genesis chapter 6. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 6. Verse 5. Genesis 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God saw that. It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it, what? What's that next word say? It grieved him at his heart. At his heart. It grieved him at his heart. That bothers me. That bothers me. The word grieved means, yes, it means to be displeased, but it also, let me say, it means to be heavy-hearted. It means to be hurt. It means to be hurt. It means to be distressed. It even means to be sorrowful. When God saw the wickedness of man, it grieved him at his heart. Look over in Genesis 39. Genesis 39, verse 9. This is where Joseph is in Potiphar's house, and Potiphar's wife is tempting him to sin, to commit adultery with her. And Joseph's answer to her in verse 8, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. Stop right there. Joseph is saying that my master has left me as a manager steward of everything that's in this house, and I'm not going to fail my master.
Amen.
I'm not going to go behind my master's back And cheat on what my master has entrusted me with. Verse 9, there is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against who? God. Sin is always against God. Now, he didn't say, how can I sin against Potiphar, your husband? Or how can I sin against my father, Jacob? He said, how can I do this great, great wickedness and sin against God? My heart, listen, is trying to pour out to you this morning something that the Lord has shown me, simple thoughts. But dear God, would you listen this morning? When we sin, God is the victim. God is grieved. God's Holy Spirit is grieved. The Word of God, yes, is plain as day, that is sin against God. You're not sinning against Dad or mama or brother or sister. The sin is directly against God. Why? Because it's God that told you not to do it.
Amen, preacher.
It's God that told me not to do it. Satan is the enemy. Sin is his weapon, his ammunition. But God is the victim. How does Satan get back at God? You see, Satan was created a beautiful angel. The cherub that covered the very throne of God. Beautiful. And he wanted to be like God. He said, I will be like the Most High. He said, God, I'm just going to take your place. You move over. I'm moving in. And God said, no, you're not. and he cast him forth. And Jesus said, I have seen Satan falling from the sky like lightning.
Amen.
And he did. And now, ever since that day, listen to me, his number one enemy, his number one reason for fighting you and me is not because you're so impressive, but because he hates God. And when you sin, you're sinning against God. God is grieved. God's heart is heavy. God's heart is broken. I don't even know that I can truly help us fully understand a broken-hearted God. Except for when I see Jesus weep over Jerusalem. I see Jesus weep over his people that rejected him. They had the prophecies, they had the proof, they had the prophet, they rejected him. We've got the fullness. We've got a more sure word of prophecy.
Amen.
We've got a Savior living in our hearts.
Amen.
But our sin is always against our Holy Father. I don't know if I can make you understand how this really works. It's plain to me, but there doesn't seem to... I'm just praying that God will help you understand. When the prodigal son left home, he went out to the far country. And he said, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to take my father's money. I'm going to find me some friends. I'm going to have me some fun, and I'm going to do what I want to do. He lost all his friends. He lost all his finances. He lost all his fun. He ended up slopping some hogs, and he finally came to himself, the Bible says, and he went home, and he what did he say? He said, Father, against thee and thee only have I sinned.
Yes, sir.
Folks, every sin that you commit is directly against God. Every sin that we commit is directly against our Heavenly Father. It grieves him. Grieve not the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Grieve not the Spirit of God. God is, and when the Bible talks about the Spirit of God, that's God. That's just as much God as God is.
Amen.
It is God. God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And when we grieve the Holy Spirit, we do what He tells us not to do. We go ahead and do whatever we want to do. Now turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Let me show you some things that Christians are still battling with. Listen, we don't seem to want to really go home and grab ourselves a bunch of filthy, sinful, openly wicked things. But when we begin to look at Ephesians chapter 4, by the way, written to the church, Christians, saints of God, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. It all starts in our minds.
Yeah, man.
We should not walk as other Gentiles. We should not live as other Gentiles live, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Now wait a minute. Does that mean that we could possibly walk like that still? Absolutely. Alienated from the life of God, how will we get ourselves out of the will of God? And through the ignorance in them, blindness, the enemy has blinded the minds of them that believe not, but he can still do it to God's people through sin, through temptation, through lust and pride, being past feeling. In verse 19, that worries me. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now stop right there. Lasciviousness is just all kinds of immoral sin that you can even imagine. And the Bible says that the children of men, even the children of this world, children of darkness, are past feeling where they no longer blush. Now stop. Wait. They no longer are even feel any guilty conscience anymore. You understand that if I continue to walk in that darkness, I'm going to be just as alienated from the life of God, from the joy of God, from the peace of God, from the mind of Christ as I was before I was even saved. I'm preaching this morning because I don't understand how a person who says they are saved can be so past feeling and turn themselves over to all kinds of lasciviousness and uncleanness, and how it doesn't even bother them. It doesn't even bother them. I mean, the world is obsessed with death right now. Zombies. Yep. You know why? Because the Bible says, and there in Acts chapter 17, that those there in Athens, they were just, all they wanted to do was read and hear something new, something new, something new. They were so educated, they were so full of philosophies, and they had so many gods that they couldn't get enough. They always wanted something new. They had to have a new drug, a new pill, a new drink, a new high, a new excitement. And so it's just getting to the point where now Americans are infatuated with death and darkness and zombies and blood and violence, and you Christian teenagers are sitting at home playing it on your video games. How can that be? What does God think about that? How does God's heart feel about that?
Amen.
Now, teenagers, I'm not picking on you, adults. How about, no, I don't play video. Well, how about the junk you're watching on TV?
Amen.
If you're watching a man and a woman have sex on TV, that's lasciviousness. Amen. That's fornication. That's ungodly. That's evil. And you don't even, you don't even bat an eye.
Amen.
How can that be?
Amen.
It doesn't even bother you. How can that be?
Amen.
I wonder what God's feeling when He looks down and sees. By the way, He sees.
Amen.
He sees. See, our enemy is not human, but he understands human minds. It all starts with the vanity of their minds. Lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him, and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. You put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed. Here it is again, in the spirit of your mind. Satan knows the human mind. He's a student of the human mind. The mind is the battlefield for the spiritual warfare. Satan is the enemy. Sin is the weapon, the ammunition. God is the victim. But the human mind is the battlefield. What are you thinking about throughout the week? If I just said, stop right there and show me that thought, it would be grief.
Yep. Amen.
To your preacher, to your parents,
yep,
to your spouse. But what about God? We just seem to think that he's okay with it. He's fine. And he will be fine. He's not going to cry. He's not going to give up. And he's not going to quit. Thank God he's more faithful than we are.
Amen.
But I'm just trying to prick your heart a little bit this morning. Help you realize that when you knowingly keep on the same old life, you're grieving him.
Amen.
It's God sees it. And he says, I'm reading here in Ephesians chapter 4 for a reason. He says, you need to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You need to keep your mind pure, keep your mind clean, and you put on the new man in verse 24, after God has created righteousness and true holiness, wherefore putting away lying. Why is it so easy for God's people to just lie? Oh, I don't ever lie, preacher. Thank you for proving my point.
Yeah.
It should not be easy to just lie. I'm not talking about being legalist and being, I'm not talking about being so uptight. But we all, I'd have to tell you not to lie. It ought to be this in you as a Christian that God is the truth and a lie is everything but.
Amen.
Put on the new man after God created in righteousness. Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. Be not angry in verse 26. Sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Neither give place, there it is, to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. May minister grace unto the hearers. How do you talk about other people? How do you discuss other people among your family and among your home? How do you say, what do you talk about other people? Look what it says, the very next verse. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
Verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know what he's saying there is this: here's a list of Christian sins. It needs to be put away just like any other sin.
Amen.
Don't tell me Christians don't get bitter and lie.
Mom.
Steal. Every time you don't tithe, you're stealing.
Amen.
Don't tell me Christians don't do these things. These are Christian sins. And that's why it says grieving the whole... You know, a lost man doesn't belong to God. He's not their heavenly father. Satan is still their father. He's the father of murder and lies, and the lust of their father they will do. But God says, when you get saved, you're my child. I become your father, and then you, when you sin, you grieve me.
Yes, sir.
I'm your father. He says, here's a list of Christian sins. And it all starts with the mind.
Amen.
And when we sin, God is the victim. The battlefield of your mind. The spiritual warfare of your thought life. What are you thinking about? You know, you're going to be most successful and you're going to do what you think about the most.
Amen.
It's just, you say, well, am I supposed to think about God all the time? Why not?
Right.
If you read your Bible more, you would.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Because when you read that book, it fills your mind with God.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I can always tell who's reading their Bible because you know what they want to talk to me about? Their Bible.
Amen.
Obviously there's other things in life, but you understand, if I talk to you for 30 minutes, somewhere the Bible's going to come up if you're full of the Bible.
That's right, man. Amen.
One of the things about, Brother Benny, every time we talk, he's talking about the Bible.
Amen. That's good.
And I love it.
Amen.
I love it.
That's right.
He came over for Thanksgiving the other day, and we were standing out in the rain, and poor Brother Josh and Ethan getting soaking wet trying to cook a turkey in the rain. The pot had a hole in it, and oh man, it was fun. But we finally got to eat. Amen. Glory to God. But in the meantime, Brother Benny and I were just standing around talking about the Bible. Why not? Why not, Christian? What is in your mind?
Come on, preacher. Yeah, man.
I'm saying to you this morning, Satan's the enemy, not your neighbor, not your wife, not your children or your parents, not the preacher, Satan.
Amen.
God's the victim, though, when we sin. And the battlefield is our mind. Do you ever just catch yourself thinking about a song that's ungodly that you've heard before, and you think, "Oh my soul, that's," or you're thinking about something that you saw one time, or it just comes in there, and you think, "Oh my soul," and you know what you have to do is you just have to either quote a scripture verse,
yeah,
sing a godly gospel song, and replace it, purge it, push it out.
That's right, amen.
Don't dwell on it.
Amen.
Get it out of there. Because it's going to end up being a temptation. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. And God is not oblivious to it. But Satan's not oblivious to it either. And he's a student of the human mind.
Amen.
How we think. He knows that we're going to do what we're thinking about sooner or later. God's the victim. That I hate that. I really don't want to grieve God. But I do. Every time I speak evil about somebody. Every time I don't forgive someone. Every time I'm not kind or tender-hearted. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Satan's the enemy. Sin is the ammunition, the weapon. My mind is the battlefield. God is the victim. The Word of God is my weapon. It's my shield.
Amen.
It's my strength.
Yes,
and it's my sword.
Amen.
It's my shield. It's my strength.
Yep.
And it's my sword.
Amen.
It keeps me focused.
Amen.
It keeps me focused on what I need to stay focused on. Go back to Psalm 119 where we were a minute ago. It keeps me focused. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, that seek Him with a whole heart. When your whole heart is seeking God, you're focused.
Amen.
They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Look, you know what? When I'm walking in this direction, I'm looking that way. I'm focused. Thou hast commanded, verse 4, Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. When I'm diligent about keeping the Word of God, I don't have time to find myself something sinful to do. Verse 5, Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. My ways directed. I'm pointed in a direction. I'm focused. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I'm praising God in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the world, when I'm lifting up my voice in praise. I'm focused. I'm not singing what the latest worldly, ungodly heathen has put out. I'm singing praises unto my God.
Amen.
What are you listening to? That's where you're going to live at. I'm telling you right now, you will live at the level of the music you listen to.
Yes, sir.
You will never grow. You will never flourish. You will be a daily, minute by minute, grieving God.
Yep.
If you listen to that music of this world.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, mark it down, that's going to fill your mind constantly, and it's going to grieve your God constantly.
Amen. Amen.
See, the Word of God keeps me focused, praising Thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments in verse 7. I will keep Thy statutes in verse 8. Verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. That's focus, folks.
Amen. That's good.
Let me not wander from thy commandments. Focused.
Amen.
It keeps my focus right. But you know, it also keeps my friends right.
Amen.
Look in verse 63 of the same chapter. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. I would rather have no friends at all than to have a friend who does not fear God, who does not love God, who hates, who curses my God. I would rather have nobody than to hang around with people like that.
Amen.
Why don't you have that same desire? Well, I just can't find anybody like that. I understand that. I do understand that. And I tell you though, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
That's right.
Well, I can't see him. You can talk to him.
Yep.
And he'll talk to you.
Amen.
He'll never break your confidence. He'll never betray you. He'll never go behind your back. He'll never stab you in the back. He'll never gossip about you.
Yep.
He'll never break your. He'll never tell your secrets to somebody else. He'll never do it. He'll talk to you, and you can talk to him. And by the way, church is here for a reason.
Yep.
I am a companion of all them that fear thee.
Yep.
I don't have time to, but why don't you love to hang out with people at church?
Yep.
Why do you want to go home, run quick home and find somebody and text somebody and talk to somebody and see somebody and do something, talk, and those people that don't even know God.
Amen. Yep.
See, when I am in the Word of God, it's my shield, it's my strength, and it's my sword. It keeps me focused, but it also keeps my friends right. You can't mix worldly companions with this book. One of them's going to go.
Amen.
One of them's going to go.
Yes, sir.
Look in verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I've hoped in thy word. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me. Who's glad when they see you? Who are you glad to see? Are you glad to see the preacher show up unexpectedly at your front door? If yeah, or are you trying to hide something? Who's glad to see you? I'm glad to see you.
Amen.
But what about when you go out there and you live in your daily walk, your daily life? Are the people that fear the Lord glad to see you? Hey, there comes brother so-and-so. There comes sister so-and-so. All right, now I have somebody to talk to about the Word of God.
Yep.
Somebody to talk to about the things of God. I really don't have any interest in that video game or that movie or that TV show or that music or that song or that filthy, wicked lifestyle. Yep. I don't have any interest in that darkness or those zombies or those wicked things that you're watching. There comes brother so-and-so. Good, finally somebody to talk to about God.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Who's glad to see you when they come, when you come, when you show up? Nobody, preacher, nobody loves me. You're wrong.
Amen.
You're just looking in all the wrong places. God loves you, and I love you, and this church loves to see you. But you got to have to love to see us too, amen. I'm hurrying on here. Verse 115, look at this. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. I'm telling you right now, I'm done. Something's going to depart. You're either going to close the Bible and depart from reading it, or the friends are going to depart that don't fear God.
That's right.
I say all this because I know the main thing that takes people out of God's will are people.
Yes, sir.
Other people. They show up after you get saved, after you get in church, and all of a sudden, they're your best friend.
Yep.
They didn't care about you before. They didn't care whether you were going to hell or in a handbasket. They didn't give not one ounce of care for you. And then all of a sudden, you start going to church. You start changing the way you dress, the way you live, the things you do, the way you act. And here they show up, your best friend.
Come on.
Well, here's what you need to do. You need to tell them, if we're going to be friends, we're going to talk about Jesus.
Yeah, man. That's right.
And then if they're a friend worth having, they'll stay. They'll stay.
Yeah, man.
If they're a wrong friend that's trying to get you out of the will of God, well, they will depart from you.
Yep.
And so what? Well, but preacher, I want to get them saved. Well, you plant the seed and let God do the work. But you don't have to go dwell in their darkness to try to get them saved.
Amen.
You walk in the light as He is in the light.
Yep.
Have fellowship one with another and with Him. And as they look out of the darkness into the light and they see a joyful smile and a joyful life and a church that's on fire for God and somebody that's learning and growing as a Christian, and they look out at you and they look down at themselves and they see, well, wow, my life isn't like that. And then give them a reason to come to Christ.
Right.
You join them down there in the darkness. What reason do they have to come to Christ?
That's right. Amen.
Don't give me that excuse. Well, I'm trying to win them to Christ. You're a liar. You're nothing but just walking in their darkness and their sin because you like it too much. Listen, the Bible is plain that when we sin, God is grieved. And the Word of God is our only shield, our sword, our strength to keep us focused and to keep our friends right.
Amen.
It will change your heart. Without it, you're going to grieve God. I hate grieving God. Would you really just let that sink in for a minute? Who you're grieving when you sin? Will you let that sink in? That's my prayer this morning. Father in heaven, I come to you this morning, Lord, with a humble heart.